Today's Shi'ur Masechta Yevam Nistav Tzadik Aleph. We will begin on that Tzadik on the base, the bottom line. Hai Sabas Yisrael Nifsel Makuna. Our Gemara continues Beizer Hashem Yisbarach to discuss the halachas that we have been learning about, and that is if a woman's husband isn't here, halach l'medina sayam, and then Bezdin hears from an aid echad that he died. Based on that, they allow her to get remarried, and now she gets remarried, and her husband comes. So we've learned many different halachas of what is the status of this woman. And says the Mishnah that if she was a Bas Yisrael, she would no longer she becomes disqualified from marrying a Kayin. A Bas Levi, she may never eat Maserishin. Ask the Gemara, of course, she becomes disqualified from ever marrying a Kayin. She is a Zayna, because we know any woman that has a relationship that she's not supposed to have falls into the category of a Zayna. And the halacha of a Zayna is that a Kayin may not marry such a woman. What is the Mishnah teaching us? Answers the Gemara, Bas Levi Mina Maisa Itzrichalei. The Chiddush of the Mishnah is that the Bas Levi does not get to eat Maisa anymore. Ask the Gemara, Bas Levi Mina Maisa Mi Mifsala, is that the halacha that just because she had znus, just because she had a relationship that she wasn't supposed to have, does she become disqualified? V'tanya, Leviya Shenishbis, if we have a Leviya that got kidnapped, a Shenivala Spil is znus, so she had an inappropriate relationship, Noisna Mais V'cheles, she's still allowed to continue eating Maiser. Amr Rav Sheshis, says Rav Sheshis, it's a Knas. Indeed, she may be allowed to eat Maiser, but Chazal made a knas that she may not. Tosis, the very masculine Omar, discusses, is this knas that the Mishnah is teaching us, that we give to this Bas Levi, only according to the opinion of Rav Meir, who we learned on Daf Pei Hei on Mabez, is of the opinion that Maiserishin may not be eaten by Zorim. And therefore, our Mishnah is teaching us that this Bas Levi, who had an inappropriate relationship, also is an individual who will not be allowed to eat Maiser, or even according to Rabbanan, whose opinion is that Maiserishin may be eaten to Zorim, there's no reason to punish this Bas Levi so significantly, or even according to Rabbanan, that are more lenient and allow Yisraelim to eat Maiser, they would agree that this woman is deserving of a special knas, and that the halacha is, and therefore she too, therefore the Mishnah is teaching us that she may not eat knas. So I saw that the Rambam says that the halacha is even going according to the Rabbanan. And even though she doesn't lose the Kedusha of a Leviyah, still, it has nothing to do because of the halacha of a Bas Levi, if a Yisrael is allowed to eat Maiser or not. The Rambam indicates that this is connected to a special knas because of what happened, that she's punished this way. Bas Kayin, says the Gemara, that she's if she were Bas Kayin, she becomes disqualified from eating Truma, says the Gemara. When we say that she's disqualified from eating Truma, says the Gemara, we mean Afilu Truma Drabonon. The halacha is that even Truma Drabonon, Chazal wa Machmer, she's not allowed to eat. Says the Mishnah further, Vein Yarshim Shalzeh, V'Yarshim Shalzeh, Yarshim Ksubasa. The Yarshim, neither of the first husband nor of the second husband, get her Ksuba. Ask the Gemara, Ksuba Mayavidita. The Gemara's question is that we already learned in the Mishnah and explained it extensively in our previous shiur, that because Chazal instituted that a woman is entitled to a ksuba. And the reason Chazal instituted that a woman is entitled to ksuba, we learned, is because it should serve as a deterrent that the husband should not be quick to divorce his wife. So we learned, in this case, by this woman, where Chazal are anxious to see that this marriage should end, Chazal said she doesn't. Chazal said she would not get a ksuba. So ask the Gemara, if that's the case, that this woman that we're discussing is not entitled to a ksuba, so what does it mean that nobody inherits her ksuba? Says the Gemara, what it means to say, Amra Papa, l'ksubas b'nin dikrin. And as the Gemara Masech the Ksubas explains, fathers would typically give their daughters a dowry and anxious to get a dowry in order to help them get married off. So the halach, but fathers were sometimes reluctant to give that dowry. The reason that they were reluctant to give that dowry is because they know that a husband is the midaraisa, is the one that inherits his wife. And since the husband is midaraisa, the one that inherits his wife, they were concerned, well, we're going to give this dowry to our daughter, and now then she'll die, he will inherit her, and my money will end up at the children of this husband when he passes away, who are not only not related to me, they're actually the children of my daughter's tzara. So they instituted ksubas b'nin dikrin, which means that if the wife dies, the husband yarshin tzara, as we've been learning. But even though the husband yarshin tzara, if the wife dies, the halacha is that the children, when he dies, it's not that money is not just put into his yerusha that all of his children equally inherit, but rather the halacha is that each one of the wives of each one of the children of the wife who brought that dowry are the ones that get the ksuba money that their grandfather gave this husband. Says the Gemara that's exactly what we're learning here. We're learning here that the marriage, that the children, that the ksubas b'nin dikrin, which normally we just explain goes to the children of these wives, doesn't apply over here. Ask the Gemara, pshita, if there's no ksuba, there's no ksubas b'nin dikrin. Answers the Gemara, matam l'deida of the surah, she who did something wrong, that she shouldn't have married another man until she was absolutely certain that her husband was no longer alive, kansura banan, that she should lose her ksuba. Lazara, but her children that didn't do anything wrong, like kansura banan, they're not subject to any knas, and they should be entitled to the ksubas b'nin dikrin. K'mashlon, that's why we're learning in our Mishnah that even the ksubas b'nin dikrin is the halacha that she loses. We learned in the Mishnah, achav shel zeh, v'achav shel zeh, chaltzim v'loy miyavnin, that both brothers, the brothers of both of these husbands, do chalitza not yibam. Says the Gemara, achav shel rishin chalitz, the brother, if the first husband passes away without children, so she's really married to him. So since she's really married to him, there's a requirement to have yibam chalitza. And therefore, says the Gemara, achav shel rishin chalitz mederaisa. He does chalitz mederaisa. The halacha that we're learning, v'loy miyabim, that we don't do yibam, is only mederabanan, a knas, that yibam should not be performed here. V'achav shel sheni. But when we speak about the second husband, mederaisa, she's really not married to that husband. So since mederaisa, she's really not married to that husband, she doesn't have any chalitz or yibam obligation. The only reason, says the Gemara, chalitza should be performed with the brothers of the second husband, is only midrabanon, because just like Chazal said she needs a get from that husband, even though technically she's not married to him, so too that Chazal required that chalitza. And as we explained in our previous shiur, and the reason is because people should not assume that a woman can leave her husband without a get. And just like they should not assume that she could leave her husband without a get, Chazal said a get should be given. For the same reason, Chazal said that people should not think that if a person dies without children, his wife doesn't have to have even chalitza. We required chalitza. Lo yabim midaraisa. We don't allow her to have yibam. She doesn't have yibam midaraisa because she's not obligated to have yibam. and loy midrabanan. And similarly, even though midrabanan, she could technically have yibum, she's not related to the second husband, she was never married to him, and therefore his brother is not her brother-in-law, Chazal still made a special reason that she should not be allowed to have yibum. She should not be allowed to have yibum with that brother. And there are many reasons why. Some say is a knas. We're treating this woman harshly. So says the Beis Shmuel, that part of the knas that we're giving her, that she should not be allowed to marry her set. Not only is she not allowed to go back, as we're learning, to the second husband, she's not allowed to marry even his brother. And the Mishnah Melech wants to suggest, from here we see, we know, we've mentioned this halacha many times, that a soita is also labal ulabayil. Says the Mishnah Melech that the halacha of also labal ulabayil is a special chumra, and that is that not only is she also to the bayil, but she's even also to the relatives of the bayil. And the Avni Nezer gives a different explanation. He says, since Chazal required that she should get a get from the second husband, chalitz, as we just learned, from his brother, so since the Chazal made all these rules, then the halacha is that she, one of the rules that they apply here was that if she's divorced from the husband, she's not allowed to marry her brother-in-law. In other words, people should not think that if you are married to a man and then you divorce him, that you're allowed to marry his brother. The Beis Meir says that we learned earlier in our Masechta the concept of chalitza psula. And when we learned those sugyas, we learned that a chalitza psula is a chalitza which is a weak chalitza. The easiest definition for a chalitza psula is a case where chalitza is the only option, where yibum is not an option. And when we learned those sugyas, we learned that since it's a weak chalitza, normally one brother doing chalitza is adequate. By chalitza psula, the halacha is that all the brothers have to do chalitza. Suggest the Beis Meir that in the case where the first husband died, and we're learning that midaraisa, she has to have chalitza. Since midaraisa, they have to have chalitza, suggests the Beis Meir, the halacha will be that the chalitza will have to be with every one of the brothers. Because as we just learned in the Gemara, chalitza here is not an option. Since yibum here is not an option. Since yibum over here is not an option, the halacha is that we need to do chalitza with each one of the brothers. So we learned in the Mishnah that there were different tanoim that had different opinions regarding the knas, which was mentioned in the Mishnah. We learned in the Mishnah that the first husband is obligated to pay the ksuba. Rabbi Elazar said that the first husband gets mitziyasa. If she finds something, he keeps it. Mas yadel, she keeps her earnings by faras nadarel. Rav Shimon Omer, also a chalitza me'achav shel rishon, that if the brother of the first husband died without children, chalitza yibum done by him is perfectly fine for all of the wives. So the Gemara's question that the Gemara is going to focus now is how do each one of these tanoim view the other one's opinion. Amar Rav Huna, so comments Rav Huna, Basroi, the later Tanoim that were quoted in our Mishnah, Moide L'Kamoi, agree with the opinion that was stated by the earlier Tanoim. Kamoi L'Moide Basroi, but the earlier Tanoim don't agree with the later Tanoim. And Rav Huna explains what he says. Rav Shimon, who says that the brother of the first husband could do Chalitza Yibam, Maidalele Rabbi Elazar agrees with Rabbi Elazar that the first husband is entitled to something that the wife finds or her earnings and to be made for her nadarim. The Ma Bia, if we're saying that Bia that he does, the Iker Isura, that is under normal circumstances that that comes from being living together. The halacha is loikonis. Still, we say that they're considered full-fledged husband and wife. And therefore, since they're considered full-fledged husband and wife, when he dies, his brother does yibum. So certainly, which is only doing yibum, as we've been learning throughout the Masechta, in a case where yibum is not supposed to be done, is a very serious aveira. It's the aveira of Eish HaSach. And if, says the Gemara, if Rav Shimon says, we're not concerned, and we're saying that yibum should be performed, and because she's considered his full-fledged wife, even though by allowing this to happen, we're having an Eish HaSach situation, certainly when it's only a financial situation, Mitziyasa, Masiyadeh, we could be lenient. Rabbi Lazar continues Rav Huna explaining, who says that the first husband is able, gets what she finds and her earnings, Lemaida Lerb Shimon, will not agree to the halacha that we just spoke about Yibam. Why? Because he says, explains Rav Huna, Mitziyasa Masiyadeh, the reminder who, when we're speaking about a financial situation, like Konis, Chazal weren't so concerned. Avo Bia, when we speak about Bia, allowing her to have relations with Eish HaSach, where there's an issue of Isuruhu, which could be a situation of Isur, there Rabbi Lazar will agree Konis the Chazal did not allow it. Continues Rav Huna in explaining his opinion, but Tavai Rav Shimon and Rabbi Lazar, Maidele Rav Yossi, they agree with Rabbi Yossi that she is entitled to ksuba from the first husband. Hanu, mitziyasa mas yidel, that are given, the yasa tusei, that are given while the couple is married, loikonis, still these tanoim said, we allowed a husband to get these financial things. Koshkin ksubasa, the purpose of paying the ksuba, the mishpo umepekoi, is that she pay it when they get separated, when they'll get divorced, which is what we're trying to accomplish, as we've been saying, that this couple, the first husband and this wife, should divorce. Certainly, that's what we're trying to accomplish. But says the Gemara on the other hand, Rabbi Yossi loy maidelhu, Rabbi Yossi says Rav Huna does not agree with Rav Shimon and Elazar. Why? With the svara that we just learned. Ksuba del mishpo meikukai, the ksuba, which is given in order for them to separate. So that's why, says Rabbi Yossi, we're anxious to give the ksuba. But in the situation of a hani, of mitziyasa, masiyadeha, and all these other things, which the yasa tusei, which are the way it works when a couple is married, and this is a couple that we don't want to see married, so that's why Karnas, Rabbi Yossi will hold they don't give that to the husband. Rabbi Yochanan argues Rav Huna, and he says just the opposite. Omar, Kamoi Moide Basroi, the earlier Tanoim agree with what the later Tanoim say, but Basroi, the later Tanoim mentioned in our Mishnah, Lamoidel Kamoi, don't agree with what the earlier Tanoim of our Mishnah say. And the Gemara explains itself. Rabbi Yochanan explains himself. Rabbi Yossi, Moidelele Rabbi Lazar, Rabbi Yossi, who says that the husband has to pay the ksuba, will agree that to Rabbi Lazar, that the husband is entitled to Mitziyasa Mas Yudel. Why? He explains Rabbi Yochanan. Ksuba de midei lidida. The one that did something wrong here is the wife. And if Rabbi Yossi is saying that he still has to pay the ksuba, even though he didn't do anything wrong, it was the woman who did something wrong, still like Kanis, Chazal didn't punish her. So Koshke Mitziyasa Mas Yudel, which goes from her to him, certainly he should not lose it out. He didn't do anything wrong. Furthermore, says Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Lazar is not agreeable with Rabbi Yossi, because says Rabbi Lazar, Mitziyasa Mas Yudel, Dum Midido Ludidai, the Mitziyah Mas Yudel, which she has to pay, and she's deserving of punishment because she did the wrong thing. So that's why, like Konis, that's why he shouldn't be punished and he should still be entitled to them. Avok Suba, which is Mididei Lidida, Konis. The Tavayu continues Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Lazar, Maidele and Rabbi Shimon are going to agree with Rabbi Shimon. Why? Because Rabbi Shimon said that the Bio and the Chalitza of the brother of the first wife, of the first husband, are effective. Hani, the Mechayim. Because he says, the things that we were speaking about previously, that Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Elazar were addressing, all applied while the husband was alive. And as we've been learning, we don't want this marriage to continue, like cancer. Bia, which is lachamisa, we still, they say it should continue as normal. So the bia, which is after the death, so certainly the marriage is over, like Koshkein, they will agree we shouldn't punish, and the yibam mechalitza should go on as normal. Says the Gemara, Rav Shimon like Maidelhu, but on the other hand, Rav Shimon doesn't agree with Rav Yosef and Rav Elazar, and Rav Shimon will hold that as far as ksuba mas yadeo, the knas is in place, because the bia, the yibum, is lachamisa, as we just said, only takes place after death. So says Rav Shimon, like Hanis, the marriage is over, and we have nothing to try to break. Aval hani, the ksuba, the mas yadeho, the mitzia, which are michayim, and Rav Shimon wants to see the marriage end, that's why Hanis. We learned in the Mishnah, nisa shalai b'rishus, as we explained, if a woman gets married based on the psak of Bezdin, that's called Bershus Bezdin. If a woman had two edim that said that her husband died, we don't need to have a specific psak Bezdin. And therefore the Mishnah differentiated. If she got married based on a psak Bezdin, that means she got married based on the testimony of one aid, and then the husband shows up, the halach is, as we've been learning, she can't remain with either of the husband. But if she got married based on the testimony of two edim, the halacha is she could go back to the first husband. Amrav hun amrav, hachi hilchasa. That is indeed the halacha, that if she got married based on the testimony of two edim, she could go back to her first husband. Amalei Rav Nachman. So Rav Nachman said to him, gan v'genuve l'amalach. Why did you say it that in a way that it would seem that the Tanakhama agrees this way? Says the Gemara, it's only Rav Shimon's opinion this way. So, e sphere like Rav Shimon, and you want a paskin like Rav Shimon, fantastic. So says the Gemara, Ema, so say so. Ema loch Rav Shimon. The Shmatzach Rav Shimon Ezla. What you're saying here follows the opinion of Rav Shimon. So the Gemara here uses a lashon of Genuve Lamalach. What's this lashon? So I saw that the Sefer Karmei Yisrael explains a very nice pshat. Of course we know that geneva, stealing, is aser. But even though we know that geneva is aser, there's one type of geneva which is not considered geneva. And that is if somebody is learning and he looks up a question, an answer, a chiddush in a Sefer, that's not considered an act of geneva. Says the Gemara, that's exactly what happened here. He said a halacha, and the Gemara is saying, the halacha you're saying is a halacha that we're prepared to accept. But the Gemara, because when it comes to halacha, you don't only have to say what is your own chiddush. But what he was saying was, even though you don't have to say it as your own chiddush, why is it appropriate that you should do so? If you're following the opinion of Rameyer, why don't you just say that you follow the opinion of Rameyer? Why did you say it in a different fashion? Says the Gemara. V'chitema, and maybe you'll say that the reason you didn't say that this is that you're quoting of Shimon, because you were concerned. Im amina halakha of Shimon. If you'll say that the halakha of Shimon, people will think I feel b'kamaisa. The other halakha of Shimon said in our Mishnah earlier that we just discussed, that if the first husband dies, his brothers do yibam mechalitza. And in that halakha, you're not agreeing with Rav Shimon. So be explicit. Ema halakha of Shimon, that you're agreeing with the opinion of Rav Shimon, and say that you're only agreeing with Rav Shimon b'achrayna, with the halacha that he said that there's a difference if it was based on the testimony of one aid or two aidim. And the Gemara says that indeed is a kasha. Why didn't Rav Huna or Rav say it that way? Amar Rav Sheshis, says Rav Sheshis, Amina, I want to say kinayim v'shachem Rav, when Rav was half asleep, Amal Hashmatza. This is what he said. Why? Because by saying it this way, halacha, by saying that the halacha is this way, michlal the Pligi. It seems that there are people that are disagreeing, and they're saying that even when two Edom came, the halacha is she can't go back to the first husband. But why would anybody say that? May have a little mevid. Why would anybody be strict with her? Menis vinus. So Mefarshim ask, how could somebody use such a difficult, how could somebody express themselves to a Rav that he said it when he was half asleep? So I saw that the Shaul Sechuvis Chavs Yor actually says that this wasn't a criticism. It actually should be understood as a compliment. What he was saying was, you're such a great Talmud Chacham. And you, the great Talmud Chacham, certainly would never say something that doesn't make sense. If you said this, you must have said this when you were half asleep. Because if you were really up, you would have never, said something like this, because nobody would be arguing on this psak. Void, says the Gemara, Rav Sheshes proves that everybody agrees that if she got married based on Edom, she could go back to the first husband. The Tanya, the Brisa teaches us, Kol Harayos Shebatorah, anyone who marries a woman who's osur to him as an erva, ain't tzrichus miget. There's no need for a get. The marriage is not a marriage. Chutz me'eshes ish, shenissus l'pei bezdin. Only when a woman got married based on the psak of bezdin, what we've been learning, based on a eid echad. So what do we see? Api bezdin, when she got remarried, based on the testimony of an eid echad, who the bai geta? That's when we need the second husband to give her a get. But api edim, if she got remarried based on the testimony of two edim, loy bai geta. The no get is required. Ask the Gemara Mani, who is the Tana of this Braisa? Elam, if you want to say it's the Tana of Shimon, api bezdin mi bai get, is that true that a that Reb Shimon holds that if she only got remarried based on the testimony of one aid, she needs to get a get from that second husband? But ask the Gemara Vatanya, haven't we learned in the Braisa that Reb Shimon Omer, also Bezdin Harason, when Bezdin paskins a shaila, based, and they said that the woman can remarry based on one aid, Kazodin Isha Be'ish, just like somebody married an Ashes Ish, that the halacha is that she may not go back to her husband. Alpi Edim, but if she got married based on the testimony of two Edim, there she's treated like a Shigas Ish Be'isha, like an Ashes Ish who had relations with another man B'Shoigig, that she is allowed to go back to her husband. Continues Rav Shimon, saying, Edi, in both situations, whether she got remarried based on the testimony of one aid, where halacha is that she is not allowed to go back to the first husband, or whether she got married based on the testimony of two aidim, and she is allowed to go back to her husband, in both cases, loy bai get. Rav Shimon always says that she will never require a get from the second husband. So when this Brisa says that there is a difference, sometimes a get is required, and by one aid a get is required from the second husband, by two aid them not, it must be following the opinion of Rabbanon. And we see from here that that in the case where she got remarried based on the testimony of two aidim, even the Rabbanon are agreeable that she doesn't, that she's allowed to go back to the first husband and she doesn't need to have a get. So why are you saying halacha, which seems to indicate that that is only the opinion of Rav Shimon, that halacha, this is halacha that everybody agrees, even the Rabbanon, says the Gemara, this Braisa is following the opinion of Shimon. And the Rabbanon are actually going to hold that even if she got married based on the testimony of two Edom, she would not be allowed to go back to the first husband. And she would need a get from the second husband. We asked, if that's the case, how do we, if we asked, but we had the diik, that according to Reb Shimon, she never needs a get. Reb Shimon Amar also Bezdin Barosa, this is the way to understand the Braisa. Reb Shimon says that if Bezdin issued a psak based on the testimony of what aid, is kikavonis isha b'ish. It's just like a man has relations with a woman with the intention of marrying her. what halacha is, uboy get. If they want to terminate that marriage, they need a get. But it was alpi edim, when there were two edim, shloi kavonis isha b'ish. It's not like when a man and a woman, single man and single woman, has relation with a woman, that they're not intending to get married, uloy boy get. Another way of explaining that Rav Shimon is going to agree, and therefore the brisa that differentiates between getting married on the testimony of one aid, where a get will be required from the second husband, versus getting married with two aidim, but based on the testimony of two aidim, where a get will not be required, is the opinion of Rav Shimon, but it won't be the opinion of the Rabbanim. The Rabbanim will hold that a get is required in all situations. So now when Rav says that the halacha is like Rav Shimon, or the halacha is that when you get when she gets remarried based on the testimony of two edim, it's understandable why he used the word halacha, because halacha, it's only the opinion of Shimon that way, not the opinion of Rabbanim. Rav Ashi brings another raya to say that it's only that Rav Shimon agrees that if she got remarried based on the testimony of one aid, she needs a get. And the Rabbanan, on the other hand, will hold that even if she got remarried based on the testimony of two aidim, she's going to need a get. And not only will she need a get, but the Rabbanan will hold that she may not go back to the first husband. And Rav Sheshes says the fact that Rav Shimon said ein tzricha get is not to mean that all circumstances. Linyan is surah ktana. What he's talking about is if she's allowed to go back to her husband or not. Vachkama. Also bezdan by Rosson, if she got remarried based on the testimony of one aid, kezodin isha be'ish, it's like when a woman had an adulterous relationship with another man, bemazed, that the aloch is mitzvah ba'ala, she's not allowed to go back to her husband. If she got remarried al pi edim, based on the testimony of two edim, it's treated shigigas ish b'isha, where a woman has a relationship with another man, b'shigig, the loy mitzvah ba'ala, that she's not allowed to go back, that she is allowed to go back to the husband. But Rav Shimon was not talking about the get situation. And according to Rav Shimon, that the halacha will be that a get is required even by one, if she got remarried based on one aid. Ravina Amma, Ravina gives a different explanation that will agree that when she's married based on the testimony of one aid, Rav Shimon will require a get. And when she's remarried based on the testimony of two aidim, Rav Shimon will not require a get. But the Rabbanon will always require a get. And Rabbanan will always say she should not go back to the first husband. And what Rav Shimon said, that Nisla Pi Bezdin, that she got, what Rav Shimon was talking about was Linya Karmik Tani. He's speaking about, does she have to bring a Karmik Chattis? Also Bezdin by Rosson. If she got remarried based on the testimony of one Eid Echad, Kizadin Ish Bi Isha, it's treated like a woman who had an adulterous relationship b'mezid. No one ever brings a carbon when they did an aver b'mezid. And therefore, for a master carbon, a carbon will not be brought. But if she got remarried based al pi edim, it's treated because shigas ish b'isha, like a woman who had an adulterous relationship b'shagig, and master carbon, she brings a carbon. V'bayis ema, one could say that Rav Shimon indeed holds that even if she got remarried based on the testimony of an Eid Echad, she doesn't have to have a get. For her Kamaisen, the Brisa that we said, that when she gets married based on the testimony of two Eidim, she needs a get, is going to be the opinion of Rabbanan. And then we ask the question, so if that's the case, that the Rabbanan agree, why do we say the Rav's following the opinion of Shimon, if the Rabbanan also agree? Tritz Hachi, this is the way to understand the Braisa. Chutz Meishas Ishvish, and this is Pi Bezdin, that they're going to say that in those cases, even though a woman got remarried based on the testimony of two Eidim, the halacha is that whether she got married based on the testimony of an Eid Echad, or whether she got remarried based on the testimony of Shtei Eidim, the Rabbanan will always require a get. So we learned now, the Gemara said a svara. The Gemara said that why did Rav say when that if she got, Rav Shimon, that she got married based on two Edom, we don't say that she's also to her husband, because we said a svara of my havelo mevid. What do we want from this woman? She didn't do anything wrong. Ask the Gemara, Mosav Ola, asks Ula, is this an acceptable halacha concept? Mi aminin, do we indeed say this concept of my havelo lemevid? What should he have done? The halacha is that when a get is written, we're going to learn Mitzvah Shem, Masechet Gittin, the date of a get is critical. And the Mishnah, in Masechet Gittin, Ayin Tesom Bey says that we wrote the get, the date that's written in the get is the date of the way the country that the get is written in is being counted. They used to write the date according to the years of the king in that country. And the Gemara over there teaches us that because Shalom Malchus, we want that the Akum should recognize what great respect we have for them. So a get, which is of course a very, very important document, is always written, says the Gemara, with the date of the country, of the king, of the monarchy where we live. If, says the Mishnah, Kasul Malchus and Argenis, they wrote the date of the Roman Empire, and the reason the Roman Empire is called a Malchus She'enu Hagenis explains Rashi, because there Rome was an empire that did not have their own language nor their own handwriting. And that's why Rashi says, the Pasuk says in Avadya, Bozi Ata Ma'oid, and that's referring to Edom. And the if you wrote that the get with the date of Rome, and as the Rishonim point out, they were very, very, the countries, all the other empires, were very jealous of the Roman Empire. And they were particularly offended if somebody would write a get, the date in the get, to the date of the Roman Empire. L'shem Malchus Modai Yavon, that you wrote it to the king, to the date of Modai in Yavon. Again, that even though those they're not so significant, but the countries in which they live wanted their dates. The Binyan Abayis, or they wrote the get to the building of the Beis Hamikdash. The Churban Abayis, to the amount of the years since the Churban Abayis. Haya B'Mizrach, if the get was written on the east side of the country, the Kos of Marav, but he wrote that it's being written on the west side, or he's standing B'Marav on the west side of the country, the Kos of B'Mizrach, and he writes in the get that was written on the east side of the country, the halacha is, and based on that get, she gets remarried to someone else, the halacha is, Teitzei Mizeh Mizeh, she can't remain married to either of the husbands, the Kala Drachem Eilu Halu, but all of the halachas that we've been learning in our halacha, in our Mishnah, how we treat a woman who got remarried improperly applied to her. So the question is, why are we being so strict with her? Why? She got a get, and she did what she was supposed to do. Why are we being so strict? Answers the Gemara, Iboile Lekriya Gittin. A woman should check the get before she gets married based on it. And since she did not check the get, before she relied on it, the halacha is that she's not considered completely innocent. And since she's not considered completely innocent, that's why she's punished with all the halachas that we were learning in our Masechta. So we see from here, says the Shas Tshuvas Ein Yitzchak, that even though we're dealing here with a Issa D'Rabbanan, these various disqualifications are not D'Raisa. They're all Issuri D'Rabbanan. Still, Chazal was so strict with Issuri D'Rabbanan, and they said that you have to have a kapara. And therefore the halacha is that she is treated this way, because even though it's an Issa D'Rabbanan. The Shulchan Aruch and Chayshe Mishpat, Simen Reish Lama Dalet, Sif Beis, teaches us. If somebody sells meat, and then it turns out that the meat was not kosher, and the halacha is that But they had already eaten some of the meat. The halacha is that the seller has to refund the entire... It's not just that the buyers can return the meat and get back his money. Even if he ate some of the meat, the seller has to pay back all of the money. But says the Shulchan Aruch, if what was not kosher, if it was only not kosher with Rabbanon, and you consumed, the customer consumed that non-kosher meat that's only not kosher with Rabbanon, the halacha is that the seller doesn't have to refund the money. And the Nesivus over there explains, by somebody who does an Aveira, that's the Raisa, so even if he did it b'shoigig, he has to have a kapara, he has to do tshuva, and therefore his eating is not considered that he had anor. But if the Aveira that he violated was only Nisad Rabbanon, he doesn't have to have a kapara, and therefore he's not entitled to get his money back. And the Nachlas Yaakov says that what's the difference between an Issa Daraisa and an Issa Darabonim? Says the Nachlas Yaakov, an Issa Daraisa is an Issa on the Cheftza. A piece of meat that's not kosher with Daraisa is worthless. And therefore, somebody ate it, he didn't eat something that has any value. Whereas something which is only Issa with Darabonim, explains the Nachlas Yaakov, is an Issa Gavra. The Rabbanan told me that I'm not allowed to eat that meat. And since it's only an Issa Gavra, the halacha is that if I didn't know that what I was doing was wrong, then I'm not obligated to have a kapara. And what I ate, and I'm not entitled to a refund. But there are many that disagree and hold, and our Gemara is the Raya, that even by Issa Rabbanan, the get that we're speaking about, it's considered that you did something wrong and you need to have a kapara. And they bring a Raya from the Ramah in Yoridea, Simen Kuf Chav Gimel Sif Chavov, that says that somebody who drank wine, which is also Midrabbanan, the halacha is he has to fast for 5 days, says the Ramah. And the Shalos HaTshuvos, Machs Avram, Eirachayim Simen Mem Tes, says from a Rambam. The Rambam in Hilchas Esuri Biyah, Perek Aleph Halacha Yud Beis, says Habo'al Erva, if somebody had relations with a woman that he's not allowed to have relations, Kimis Asik, not intentionally, Apish Enka Vanosa L'cha Chayiv. Even though he didn't have intention to do an Aveira, he's Chayiv. The came b'chayiv ilavenu b'shnius. And the Rambam goes on to say that this halacha that he just said applies by all ervis, even ervis that are chayiv ilav, and also by shnius. Now shnius, as we've been learning in our Masechta, are the Rabbanan. And the Kesa Mishnah says that he needs a kapara, even though he did an Aveira, which is only an Aveira midrabbanan, Shnius, and Shnius of the Rabbanan, and this person did not recognize that he was doing an Aveira. Still, the halacha is that he's required to have a kapara. And the same, there's a tshuva from the Divrei Chaim, Yerideya, Chelek Beis Simen Samaches, that speaks about somebody who ate chicken, weighed a piece of chicken, and it turns out that it was treif. And the reason that it was treif, says the Divrei Chaim, is because we know, we're going to Mitzvah Shem learn, Masechta Chulin, where the Gemara discusses various flaws that make a bird, an animal, treif. But the Gemara says we normally don't have to check for them, because most birds and animals don't have this disqualification. So it wasn't checked for. But then it turned out that what you ate was treif. So what you didn't do anything wrong with the raisa. But still, since you did something that you weren't supposed to do, the halacha is that you need to have a kapara even for an aveira that was done b'shegig. Amar Rav Simi. Now Rav Simi brings another raisa, Simi Barashi, that we don't apply the concept of my havelel of eved. Toshma. The raisa says, akonis es yivimta. Somebody, a husband died, a brother died without children, and he had more than one wife. And the surviving brother did yibum with one of the wives. And the other wife, as we learned at the beginning of the Masechta, goes and gets remarried based on the fact that her tzara had yibum. And then, Nimtza Zu Eilness. The wife with whom Yibum was performed ends up being an Eilness, which we learned many times in this Masechta, is not a candidate for Yibum. So the halacha is the Tzara, who we got remarried, is not allowed to remain with that husband. Teitzim Mizeh Mizeh, the called Racham Eilen Boy. She can't remain with the man that she married because she was not allowed to get married. She was a Yivama Lashok. But ask the Gemara, Vamai, why are we being so strict with her? Name him, I have a little mevet. Hatsara had Yibum, and therefore she did what she was allowed to do. Again, says the Gemara, when she's not that innocent. Because Iboy Lelem Tune, what she should have done is wait. So she should have waited to make sure, is Hatsara an islandess or not? And the way the Ritva explains, this woman never had children. And she had some of the simonim of an islandess. So what the Gemara is saying is, you can't call her so innocent, because she should have waited to be able to know definitively, is Hatsara an islandess or not? And I saw the Rishonim go on to explain, as we learned earlier in the Masechta, a woman, by the time she's going to be 18 years old, will know if she's an eilness. So just wait. It's not something that's going to be forever. Amar Abaya. So the Gemara brings another raya that we don't say, my have a little maivet. Kol harayis. We go back to the first Mishnah of a Masechta. And the Mishnah discusses a husband who died without children. And one of the wives that he had was an erva to the yavam. So we learned that woman, the first example we learned in Amasechta, is a brother died, and one of his wives was his brother's daughter. So we said that not only don't you do Yibim Chalitz on your daughter, but the Tzara of your daughter. Kol Eilu Sha'amru Poitra Tzarasayim, Hocha Tzaras V'nisu. So based on that, the Tzara went and got remarried. She says, there's no Yibim. I'm obligated to have Yibim Chalitza. I'm a Tzaras Erva. And then Nimtzu, and then it turns out that the erva is an eilness. So she should not have gotten remarried, because the way most Rishonim explain, eilness, the halacha that an eilness, the halacha that a wife, of tzaras erva, doesn't apply by an eilness. Others say that the reason it doesn't apply is because that whole kedushin with the eilness was a mekach tos, because the husband never realized that his wife was an eilness, and therefore she was never really his wife. And we learned Taitzim Ezeh Mezeh, if she got remarried, Kol HaDracham Elabah, we have to be strict. And the question is, Avamai, why are we being strict with this Tzara Erva? Again, why don't we say, Neima Mahavalei Levid? What should she have done? She knew that she is the Tzara of an Erva. Says the Gemara, Eboy Lem Tunei. She should have waited to see if indeed the erva is an eilness or not. And by not waiting, we can't call her completely innocent. Amarav, another raya. Tashma. Kas of Seifer Getlish. The Seifer claims Seifer. And what happens is, when a get is given, so the husband asks for two documents to be written. One is the get, and the other is that there should be a receipt written. The receipt is that the husband, when he divorces his wife, as we've been discussing, pays out the ksuba, and he wants a receipt from the wife that he paid out the ksuba. So the cipher was engaged, and the cipher wrote the ksuba for the ksuba, wrote the get and the receipt. But a mistake was made. And Tav and Nosan get l'ish v'shay v'lish. The wrong document was given to each person. Nosan l'zeh l'zeh v'zeh l'zeh. In other words, the documents were messed up. Ulachazman, we discover Ray get yoitz metach yideish. The husband should be holding the receipt, but he's holding the get. V'shayv metach siyarisha, and the woman should be holding the get, but she's actually holding the receipt. So it's obvious there was a mix-up. Teitzei mizeh mizeh v'chol adrachem elbo. We're very strict. But if she got remarried, because she really never got a get. But ask the Gemara, why are we being so strict? V'amayim. Using the concept that we've been learning in Amshir, Rav Shesh said, "My have a little mevet." Says the Gemara, "Bailer kuya gita." The halacha is she should have written her get. She should have read the get before she accepted it. And if that would have happened, she wouldn't have just taken the piece of paper. She would have seen that she got the wrong document. Amar Vashi, another raya that we don't say might have a little mevet. Tashma, shina shma v'shma. If the names that are written in the get of the husband and the wife are very critical, and if the sefer wrote them wrong, or shame ira v'shame ira, or the name of the cities where they reside, the halacha is teitze mizeh mizeh. The kol adrachim elubah. We don't let her. We tell her that she has to get that she can't rely on that get. Here too, ask the Gemara. Am I have a little memed? Why? What should she have done? Says the Gemara. She should have written the get, read the get, and known that this get was written improperly and have it done right. The Gemara Masechta Baba Basra Daf Kuf Samach Amud Aleph teaches us that when Kohanim divorced their wives, the get was written as a get kosher. Because the Gemara explains that sometimes Kohanim are hot-tempered, and in their anger, they're going to divorce their wife, and then it turns out that the wife is a grusha, and they got divorced out of anger, and they want to take him back. But the halacha is that a kohen is not going to marry a grusha. So in order to slow things down, Chazal said that the get should be written with a get mekusher, that every line should be folded over, and the Edom should sign on every one of those folds. And then, after all of that, we should sign a get, sign it again. Am Ravina, says Ravina, Toshma, the Brisa says, Konso, if the get was a get kereyach, the get was not written properly, Teitze mezeh mezeh. But the question is, what should she have done? Answers the Gemara, the same text that we've been learning throughout Ashir. Ibayle lekri get, she should have written, read, and make sure that the get was written properly. Says the Gemara, Papa sova lemevet uvda, but may have a lemevet. Papa wanted to actually paskin based on the concept of what do we want, not what should have been done. Amalei Rafuna Breidu v'shula Rapapa v'tanya kol Hani Masnisen. Haven't we learned all of these Mishnayis and Brises that show clearly that we don't follow the concept of my Havalei Lamevid? Amalei V'lav Shaninu. Haven't we been able to explain every one of these cases? So they're not contrary to the concept of my Havalei Lamevid. Says the Gemara, Avashnuye Leku Lismach. Yes, we were able to answer. But all of these answers were really not simple answers. And therefore, it's a raya we don't say my havelei lemevid, and we can't rely on that in our halachic setting.